Blog Talk Radio.
Bar on the back of a cartoon.
I would still be on my feet. Oh, I am a lonely painter. I live in a box of paint. Frightened by the devil, and I'm drawn to those ones that ain't afraid. I remember that time you told me, you said, love is touching souls. Surely you touched my anchor, part of you pours out of me.
Hello and welcome to Storyboards on A Team of Voices. A Team of Voices is brought to you by A.P. Taylor. A.P. Taylor and a group located on allpoetry.com, A Team of Voices, the largest poetry site in the world. And it's free to join. You can sign up, look for A Team of Voices group, knock on the door. And Deborah Lee, who runs the group, and the blog talk page will let you in. And you could chat on the boards, follow along, add to the topics, and be a part of the group and a show. And I always like to say thank you to Deborah Lee for running the group and the blog talk page so we can geek out live. It is the first time Storyboards is here at A Team of Voices. I've been doing the show for a while at Poetic Slice of Life, many of you might know. It is permanently moving to A Team of Voices, and I'm very happy to be here. Thank you. I was a little confuzzled in the beginning from my normal Storyboards intro. Yeah. But tonight we are celebrating the film Practical Magic. Here at Storyboards, we do various themes, cult classic, D&D, comic books. We focus on characters and the stories written for and by those characters that we've come to love and know. And I've got some poetry, I've got some music from the soundtrack, and I've got some information about that music. So starting off, we did start off with Stevie Nicks. It is all from the Practical Magic soundtrack. Stevie Nicks is an American songwriter, singer, and producer known for her work with the band Fleetwood Mac and as a solo artist. After starting her career as a duo with her then-boyfriend, Lindsay Beckenham, releasing the album Beckenham Nicks to little success, Nicks joined Fleetwood Mac in 1975, helping the band to become one of the best-selling music acts of all time. With over 120 million records sold worldwide, Rumours, the band's second album with Stevie Nicks, became one of the best-selling albums worldwide, being certified 20 times platinum in the U.S., In 1981, while remaining a member of Fleetwood Mac, Nicks began her solo career, releasing the studio album Belladonna, which tops the Billboard 200 and has reached multi-platinum status. She has released 8 studio solo albums and 7 studio albums with Fleetwood Mac, selling a certified total of 65 million copies in the U.S. alone. And then, of course, we went to Joni Mitchell, A Case of You. And Joni Mitchell, or Roberta Roberta Joan Mitchell is a Canadian singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and a painter. I don't think I've ever seen any of her paintings. I'm going to have to go check that out. Several of this version, A Case of You, there were several versions of this song about infatuation were recorded by Joni Mitchell. The best known was being on her Blue album. An earlier live interpretation can be found as well from her concert in 1970. She later re-recorded the song on her 1974 live record, Miles of Isles, in addition to orchestral version, featuring a new vocal by Mitchell, can be found on her 2000 concept album, Both Sides. The song can also be found on many bootleg recordings from Mitchell's 1983 tour. So I like that there's like many different things to choose from. There isn't just one version of this song here. So it's a beautiful song. And then last but not least, the last song that we got to listen to was from the film score, which is Alan Silvestri. And what I like about that is I feel like I know a lot of his work. When I hear it, I'm like, I think I know him. This one in particular, the high notes reminded me of his film score on Forrest Gump. There was the feather scene. I don't know why, but maybe it was a lighthearted, magical feel, and that slow pace with the light notes. He just has a really good job walking slow and walking light, and he's similar sounding from Forrest Gump. But Alan Anthony Silvestri is a composer and conductor of film television scores. He has been associated with director Robert Zemeckis since 1984, composing music for all his feature films, including Back to the Future, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Forrest Gump, Castaway, The Polar Express, Predator, The Abyss, Father of the Bride, The Bodyguard. There's a lot of them. I won't go over all of them, but we will just hit on one more, and that is the Avenger films. He is a two-time Academy Award winner and Academy Award and Golden Globe nominee, and a three-time Saturn Award and two-time Emmy Award recipient. So there's a little bit about him, and I hope you enjoyed some of the music. So without further ado, I do want to let a few people on the line. We do have Rack and Tour. Hello, Rack.
Hey. Funny to see you here.
Funny to see me here. How is it going?
It's going good. It's going good.
Good, good. We also have AP Taylor. Hello, AP. Hello, AP. Can you hear me, Rack?
I can hear you. You may not have unmuted him.
I did unmute him. I'll mute him and mute him again. Hello, AP. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you, but it sounds like you can't hear me.
Now we can.
I couldn't, but I just unmuted you, and then I remuted you and unmuted you. I don't know why I didn't do it
okay. The
first time, but I did. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I'm glad we're over the technical difficulties, though.
So it was brief. It was brief. Short-lived,
not
definitely. So I heard you were busy writing a poem.
I have been. Yes. Yes, I have been. In fact, I have literally just submitted it then. Just then. So, it couldn't be any newer.
Awesome. Well, you can put that right up on the board if you like.
I will. It doesn't have a picky on it yet, and it doesn't even have the quote that I used. So that's how new it is, So just to let you know. But I did go and follow your advice, and I went and looked up quotes from your prompt. And for the record, the quote that I used from the film is the following. I dream of a love that even time will lie down and be still for. How's that?
That's a beautiful one. I love that one. And I actually know right where it is in the film. Yeah, beautiful quote.
Ah, there you go. Well, that is the quote that I have used. And given that, and I've just put it into the palm right now, because it wasn't even in there before, this is Pretty Roses. And it goes a little bit like this. Pretty are roses and bunches of flowers. They woo the air with a delicate perfume. Small talk over candles passes the hours while consuming a meal in a small room. And within that candle, a fire burns bright. It's reflecting your eyes and blonde hair. Eyes do not leave yours all through night. My head is spinning in warmth and care. For I cannot envision my skies without you, no space where there may be a mystery. For your eyes dazzle and my world renew, like those far suns that dazzle in history. End poem.
Beautifully done. And I don't know if you've seen the film, but Well, the thing is that not only does your poem obviously was inspired by the quote, but when Sandra Bullock's character, Sally Owens, where this quote derived from, she was writing a letter by candlelight, and the quote was put into the letter. She was writing a letter. So I just love that there's that little bit of connection that was like unintentional as well when you ring into the candlelight. As to your poem, it was actually, I'm surprised. Your poem, it was wonderfully done. And I love how you write, they woo the air. I love that, wooing the air. And I love when people take things that are not, normally meant for, out of context to what it's usually used in. So you could say, I wooed her, I wooed him, all these things. But to say I wooed the air as an inanimate object, but it really isn't inanimate, right? It moves, you breathe it, it's part of us. And I love the idea and how you twisted that normal phrase and you created something beautiful and unique. And I really like when I see that in poetry especially. And I also liked how you put small talk over candles passes the hours, because sometimes the most intimate moments, I believe that, like, the most intimate moments are when two people are just enjoying each other. And it doesn't have to be anything grandiose. It doesn't have to be big, high scales and all these things. It could be a simple conversation, like you said, over candlelight. And I think those are moments that we connect with each other's soul. So I love that you put that in there. And of course, for I cannot envision my skies without you, space where there may be a mystery. I'm sorry?
I thought you'd like that. I deliberately dropped a word in there. Yes.
Not because you wrote skies, just because I think it's just so romantic. I mean, the whole piece is just so wonderfully romantic, and beautifully written in it. And it's simple in its moment, and it's thankfulness and its praise. And yet it's just, sometimes those simple moments can mean the most. And I think that's the same in poetry. I always admire when I see someone, and I always think, oh, I need to do that more, especially with nature. They just, like a heron will just sit down on a patio, and somebody will write this whole big poem about the heron on the patio, and I'm like, oh, so small moments that really bloom beautifully in poetry, and I feel like this did too. Really well done. And let me get a comment for you from Ron Contour. Welcome.
You definitely captured those magical moments in a relationship with this. It just screams it. And you know, the fact that, you know, sky is sky, and you've got sky in there too, that was a lovely happenstance as well. But, you know, there's something about when two people connect that is magical, and this, you know, all those things that you attribute to the wonder of magic and mystery and sparks and things like that, it feels so right to use them to describe a relationship, and when you're warming up to someone too. There's a lot of beauty in that, and you know, those moments are very precious and often go unnoticed, you know, or at least, you know, you appreciate them and consume them, and then they vanish because they don't get put to paper as easily or as often as some of the darker moments that we live through. And you know, it's lovely to see them on paper like that. I really enjoyed it, AP. That was great.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. And thank you for writing it. And, you know, sometimes people see the storyboards and they're like, I've never watched, and I do some really random stuff. So they're like, I never watched this film, but I always tell them, I always say, like, pick a quote, go anywhere you want. It's inspired by the film, you know? So I love that you did that.
Exactly.
Thank you.
It's
I mean, I talk about the film enough, and I play clips, so the poetry is the poetry.
No. There were heaps of, they really were, I could have picked five, yeah, the interchange of stuff is just fantastic, and the quotes are brilliant. So, you know, there's no excuse if you click and see quotes like that. And that's a beautiful quote. So I had to.
Awesome. Glad you had fun with it. So, what do you have coming up this week?
I have on Saturday night. I'm there on Saturday night, we have the quote for the show. Don't dream it's over is what we're writing to. Don't dream it's over. And for those of you who might recall, back in the 80s and 90s, there was a New Zealand band called Crowded House, and they did a song called Don't Dream It's Over. And so that's where it comes from.
Mm-hmm. It's a great topic, and I definitely think a lot of people, people love to write about dreams, right, and about endings, and sometimes dreaming that something won't end. So there's so many ways you can go with that.
I think you can use it a lot of different ways. Yeah, I agree. So, you know, there you go. We'll have some poems and do some stuff, and I'm sure Deb will find an epic poem from Reed, and we'll, you know, go from there.
Awesome. Well, I don't know how much time you have, but you're welcome to stay. But I don't usually.
Love to, but I am going to depart for a video conference. So, thank you, and it's a pleasure.
Well, thank you,
and we will talk for.
Thank you so much, AP. Have a good conference.
Thanks,
and a good evening.
Okay. Bye. Thank you. Okay. Bye.
I'm an awful person to say bye to on the phone. I'm even more terrible with answer machines. I actually don't even have my voice. I'm such a millennial. I do not have my voicemail set up at all. And I hate leaving voicemails because I never know when to end it. Like, you're having a conversation with yourself. You're like, oh, hey, you know, it's me, how are you doing? And I just wanted to call to say hi, and then it's the bye that's terrible for me. Then I'm like, so, yeah, I guess I will talk to you later. Like, you know, it's like terrible. So I hardly ever leave voicemails. In fact, I'm so much a millennial, I usually don't call anybody without texting them first. And if someone calls me before texting me, I'm like, oh, boy, what are you doing right now? Except one friend, she calls me. Well, actually, you too, because you don't text too much. So maybe you and one other friend, they call me before they text me. And I'm not, and they do it, so you do it, and she does it so often that it doesn't surprise me anymore. But I never have my ringer on. Also, so I usually have to call people back. I don't notice they're calling. So horrible.
Strange relationship we have with our phones.
I know, I'm such a horrible person. But you know what, though?
You're really not. It would be a funny topic, I think, because, you know, we all interface with our phones differently, you know. I need to, you know, have, you know, extra features on mine to interact with it. But, you know, it's like you say, it's like, you know, some people you don't even realize, you know, oh, well, he's actually in a different time zone. And while we're saying goodnight, it's in the middle of the afternoon for him, or, you know, things like that. Or, you know, some people are just an hour or two behind and, you know, you just got up. What do you mean you just got up? And it, you know, it's already lunchtime here. And they're like, you know, yeah, well, I'm 3 hours behind. So it's like, you know. There's things you end up taking for granted because the world has gotten so much smaller because of the internet and phones and things. It's like, you know, you get to talk to people that you otherwise never would, and then never get to know, never would have interfaced with, never got to meet them. And then all the little things like you mentioned, you know, with the voicemail and the you know, well, I was really just calling to say hello, so hello. And then click, and so it's like, you know, that would be kind of abrupt. So, you know, I'm not going to hang up right now, but so now I don't know what to say. So, and then it turns to this whole 10 minutes of like trying to say goodbye, and then sometimes, you know, like in the text messages, that they could be the worst because you got people, you know, reflex. You don't mean it, but there's like this. Some people just have to get the last word. It's like, you know, thank you. Oh, you're welcome. You know.
Yeah.
It turns into like a contest between who's going to get that last no problem.
And sometimes it's because you don't want to be rude, right? So you don't want to be rude,
yeah.
Like you're ignoring them, because there was no, because in text there's usually not an official goodbye. You know, there's not like, okay, bye. You know, it's usually just a conversation that can, you know, I will text my friends out of nowhere and just say the most random things. I get a beautiful text some mornings from a friend that says good morning, and though I never reply, I always see it on my watch when I'm at work, and it's, you know, it's nice to see hello, good morning, hope you have a good day. And even though I'm not pulling out my phone to say thank you for the beautiful message, I do look at it on my watch while I'm at work, because that's when it's coming through usually. And so it's not that I don't enjoy them. I usually keep my bag and my phone in my bag all day at school. So I remember when I was younger, my mom was like, how come you never answer your phone? And when I was like a teenager, she's like, I don't show you. And then I said, listen, Ma, you know, Emma with an M-A, I am not a slave to my phone. Because I was one of those teenagers who wouldn't wear name brand clothes. or things with like sayings on them, because I'm like, I'm not a walking billboard. They don't pay me to advertise for them. You know, I was one of those teenagers. So the same thing with my phone. I was like, I'm not a slave to my phone. So many people, even my best friend, she goes, I know that when I call you, I won't get you, and you call me back in a few minutes every time without fail, because I see the missed call, but I just may not see. And then if I don't look at my phone, I don't see it at all.
Yeah.
So it's a thing.
Yeah, and some people don't realize it's just like, well, you know, I know this person, so I know they're not answering because they're busy. It's not that they're slighting me or anything. It's just, you know, they're tied up. So most of the time it's rhetorical. It's like, hey, good morning. you know, just wanted to wish you a lovely day. And then, you know, you go about your business and not necessarily expect a response.
Yeah. I think some people, I mean, and I'm not excluded because I touch my phone so much, but there are stretches that I don't. And I think some people are very attached to their phone that they're like, well, how could you not see that I called or got my message? And I'm like, well, I was reading. I didn't have my phone. My ringer was off. I had it across the room. I was doing other stuff. Like, what to tell you? And then sometimes it's like I did see your message and I clicked on it and I opened and I read it, but I couldn't respond at that time because I'd like to give people the attention they, you know. If you start texting someone, they're going to think that you're available to have a conversation. So I won't text back if I'm not available to have a conversation. But then once I click that, the notification goes away, and then it goes in my, like, I don't have a category that says, remember to text this person back. You know, I don't have that in my brain. So it just goes, and then I'm like, oh, I never texted you back 3 days ago. Sorry, I did read your message. I just do not have the thing that's in your brain that says, you know, someone left a message, call them back. I just don't have that. I'm like, okay, and then that's it. Oh, my gosh, terrible. It would be a good topic. It would be a good topic to talk about. You know, how what we do with our phones.
The statistic would be interesting. I don't remember what it was, but it's like, you know, the average person touches their phone once every, you know, how many minutes. And you know, it's a frightening number. I don't remember what the statistic was, and I'm sure it's changed. You were kind of answering? Uh-oh.
Oh, I thought I was off mute. Oh my gosh. I thought I was off mute. So I did look it up. That's what I was doing. So next time you're just saying hello and I'm not answering, you know, there's always that.
Hello there.
We've got Ewan McGregor in here. We've got Obi-Wan saying hello. Let's see. The average person touches their phone 2,617 times a day. But I want to see per hour, per minute. Let's see. Phones per hour. Let's see what we get per hour.
It's got to be like every 20 minutes or something crazy like that.
Okay. The average American spends 5 hours and 24 minutes on their mobile devices each day. Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot.
I
use my phone for everything. I'm definitely not exempt to that. And I don't only just. I'd be lost without my Alexa. My Alexa tells me the weather. She tells me the time. She wakes me up. She tells me information. Like I would be. She's like my secretary, an unpaid secretary, free labor.
It tells you what happens when you cross the streams.
And that's a pun that I'm not sure.
No, it's just one of the Easter eggs, you know. You ask Alexa, what happens when you cross the streams? You know, it quotes Ghostbusters.
All right, Ray, I'm going to play. I do have clips because this is storyboards, and I always bring clips to kind of highlight pieces of the film or fandom. So I do have a clip, and then I'm going to. And then we'll go from there. I'm going to drop another poem after that. So this is the first clip of the evening, and I hope you enjoy. ¶¶
For more than 200 years, we Owens women have been blamed for everything that has ever gone wrong in this town.
Is that why people hate us so much, Aunt Frances?
They don't hate us, sweetheart. We make them a little nervous.
Let's face it, Jeff. We Owens women have always created a stir. It all began with your ancestor, Maria. She was a witch. The first in our family. And you, my darlings, are the most recent in a long and distinguished line.
Is that why they wanted to hang her? Because she was a witch?
Well, the fact that our Aunt Maria was a bit of a heartbreaker didn't help. Nor did it help that most of her lovers had wives on the hanging committee. But no, I don't think it was either of those reasons. They feared her because she had a gift. A power. Has been passed on to you, children. She had the gift of magic. Child growing inside her belly. She waited for her lover to rescue her, but he never came. No one came. In a moment of despair, she cast a spell upon herself that she would never again feel the agony of love. But as her bitterness grew, the spell turned into a curse. A curse on any man who dared love an Owens woman.
So is that why Daddy died? The curse?
Yes, my darling. Your mother knew. She heard the beetle ticking for your father's death all day long. She knew that when you hear the sound of the Death Watch beetle, the man you love is doomed to die.
That's how you came to live with us. We tucked you into our lives then. We've raised you the best way we know how.
In this house, we have chocolate cake for breakfast. And we never bother with silly little things like bedtime or brushing our teeth.
But with the sweets comes the sour.
So when you find yourself the center of attention...
Hi, you want to play?
It's not that they hate you. It's that, well... We're different.
You witch!
Jillian? Sally? You know the only curse in this family? She's sitting right down there at the end of the table. Your Aunt Fanny.
Oh, come on, Jetty. Even you have to admit that any man who gets involved with an Owens woman is bound to end up 6 feet under.
Spare me.
Spare me. Oh, my gosh. I love Stalker Channing. I just think she's so brilliant. And, you know, of course, she became like an icon after her role in Grease as Sandra Lee. I mean, who couldn't forget that? But just absolutely love her. So, I mean, there are a lot of great actresses in this film, actually, that I really do enjoy. But there's a little clip from the beginning kind of setting the whole premise of the story, actually, the whole theme. You know, how do we overcome this
curse
spell that was cast, and how do we get through and have true love without an ending? So I just love it. Okay, Raconteur, I have you on the. Oh, no one's. Well, Rankin-Tor, you're going to have to just have a comment from me, I guess. Okay. You don't come enough because this is it. I know Deborah Lee's calling in, and I know that Pretty Bird said she might try to towards the end. But right now, it's just me. So I hope you don't mind, only my comment. But I'm going to... Okay, all right, good. I am going to go ahead and play your clip. And while I'm looking... Oh, I have to refresh. While I'm refreshing the studio, would you like to tell me why you picked this poem?
Well, it's very much like the movie, I think, in a lot of ways, messing with magic and powers and witches and how you treat people in relationships and things like that. So there's a lot of overlap to it. It's kind of an open concept, I think, that you know, if you take a step back and not, you know, focus completely on, you know, one subject in a way. In a broader sense, it's kind of just, you know, that this is how it is, and you'll see that there's a lot of similarities to the clip that you just played, I think.
Awesome. Okay, I'm ready. Thank you for that moment, and I'm going to press play and follow along here.
Reap What You Sow by Rackinter. My mother was known for whipping up potions, so people call me a son of a witch. I hope to one day master alchemy and make my family rich. I have two beautiful sisters, born identical twins. They grew up studying magic and dating handsome djinns. They revel in causing mischief, like scratching an insatiable itch. Because when it comes time to pay the piper, nobody can tell which witch is which. One full moon, we all went out for a brew, forced to walk because we never learned to fly stick. So we strolled silently, shrouded in shadows, arriving unnoticed in the mood to frolic. Settled only a brief spell, I knew there was going to be trouble. We were told to abandon our drinks and leave on the double. My sisters cursed the tavern, rotting the teeth of anyone that ventured within, plaguing them with gout and herpes sores all over their skin. The difference between a witch and a princess is the love she's shown. Worship the ground she walks on, and you'll reap what you've sown. End poem.
Oh, I love this. Oh, my gosh. I have a lot to say. So, good thing I'm the only commenter, because it's going to be a long comment. So, I thought this was wonderfully done. First of all, the son of a witch, I don't know if you did this intentionally or if you even know, but I loved it. One of my favorite book series is the Wicked series by Gregory Maguire. I love Gregory Maguire. I think he's such a brilliant writer, and he does fairy tale twists, and he makes them adult, you know, for adult reading and with adult themes. So it's like the fantasy, like that warm, fuzzy fantasy story and those children's stories that you grew up with The Wizard of Oz, but it's through an adult lens, and it is really, he just recaptures the story in such an intricate way. But the second book from Wicked is actually Son of a Witch. And so that made me really smile, because it made me think of my favorite book series. And I also thought, I just love it. I just think it's so clever. I love that you brought alchemy in, and how you took the story piece by piece. You were very detailed in its telling. So people just jumping into it. And that's the great thing about flash fiction. Flash fiction poetry is such a brilliant way to write, because you can tell a whole story in a very condensed amount of words in a condensed setting. But you have to do it so that it's brief, but also so you don't lose your reader. So it can be very challenging, I think. You aced this. You did such a good job, because you brought in the setting. You brought in the main speaker and his monologue. you know, you spoke about the identical twins growing up, and by the way, I love that you wrote handsome Jins, because I like the you know, more archaic way of saying it, and those are like the original genies, but so I love that you put that there. And it's a much darker tale, the Jin. So I love that you did it. And there was one, I also, you know, having kind of like bringing this in with Reap What You Sow, and this fun little line, nobody can tell which is which. I love that fine little line. So here's a stanza that I thought was really, really brilliant when you break it down. One full moon, we all went out for a brew, forced to walk because we never learned to fly stick. So I thought that was a really fun spin on, oh, you don't know how to drive stick. A lot of people that drive automatic don't drive standard, but you switched it around for like a broomstick with switches, and I thought that was, but I couldn't help but think of the other way that that term is sometimes, you know, not that term, but the connotation, yeah, that kind of like triggers. I just think it was so brilliant. And then down to the second, I knew there was going to be trouble. And, you know, you hear that most common, you know, boil, double toil and trouble, and you kind of put that in there, but you did it very, very softly, and it doesn't, like, speak out loud. And I think your humor is often like that. You'll often slip in something, and if people get it, they get it. If they don't, then you just kind of go about your day, and you're like, yeah, if they didn't get it, it's fine. but you do it so subtly that it can be, if you're not just really, you just got to be very quick with your wit, I think, and this was very witty. So instead of saying, I knew, you know, speaking potion, and we were toad to abandon instead of toll, you know, legs of toad or whatever they're putting in their brews. I just thought that was so fun. And then again, you put leave it on a double and bringing in, because you wrote trouble and double, of course, again, I say it reminded me of double, toil and trouble. So I just love that you brought that iconic quote in there too, but you didn't. You didn't bring it in there. You did it in a way where in someone's brain, all these little fireworks are going off like, oh, but it's not relating to anything of those subjects. You just did it really slyly. I thought that was cool. And, yeah, so, and I like the perspective you put on princesses and witches. It's all in how they're praised and how we see them, because somebody who can, it's all about perspective. So a witch can be whatever they are, and then once someone says, oh, you're a witch, well, what do they really do? You don't really know. It's all in perspective, and I think that's really cool how you brought that in there. This is a great poem, and you were right. It was perfect for tonight. So thank you.
Thank you.
See, I made and, up for like five people.
I think you grabbed all the Easter eggs too. You caught on just about everything. I think that was going through my head when I was writing it.
Good. I think it's really cool. I'm not really sure why it's not on my recommended list, but I'm glad you brought it back, because I'm going to put it on my recommended list because I think it's just really funny. I just love it. Absolutely love it. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, I have another clip, and it's going to go into a halfway song, and I kind of want to play it now because we're about halfway, and we'll see what it is. I think you're really going to like it. Brack, that is just a brilliant, brilliant poem. Thank you so much. I hope you like the lime and the coconut song. This thing gets stuck in my head all the time. So here we go.
Dearest Jilly, sometimes I feel there is a hole inside of me, an emptiness that at times seems to burn. I think if you lifted my heart to your ear, you could probably hear the ocean. And the moon tonight, there's a circle around it, sign of trouble not far behind. I have this dream of being whole. I'm not going to sleep each night wanting, but Still sometimes, when the wind is warm or the crickets sing, I dream of a love that even time will lie down and be still for. I just want someone to love me. I want to be seen. I don't know. Maybe I've had my happiness. I don't want to believe it, but there is no man, Chili. Only that moon.
I am Newt, toe of frog, full of bat-tongued dog. Adder's fork and blind worm's sting. Barbados lime is just the best. Fregger's song like a sailor's double. Flip the switch and let the cauldron bubble. How
yeah.
Awesome. I hope you enjoyed that. There was a little blip in there when I started playing around clip, but it was good. I think I caught it pretty quick. Of course, that was Lime and the Coconut. It was a wonderful song in the film, and they kind of just put it in there. And they had, it was a different version. They were singing it, and I really liked that just low-key vibe. But the version that I played, of course, is Nilsson Skimmelsen. And this popular novelty song finds a girl in tummy trouble after drinking concoction of lime and coconut. And she calls her exasperated doctor in the middle of the night, who suggests she take a little of the hair of the dog and that bit her. So it says, according to song facts. And the singer was going to sing the song straight through with his voice, but his producer, Richard Perry, encouraged him to add contrasting voices for the characters of the narrator, the girl, and the doctor. Perry explained in a documentary who is Harry Nilsson and why is everyone talking about him. He played it for the first time on guitar, and he sang it straight through without no changes at all. And I would actually like to hear that version. So if you, it's out there. So there you go. And Nilsson wrote the word coconut on the matchbox during a vacation in Hawaii, thinking it would make a great lyric for a song. When he returned home to Los Angeles, he found the matchbook while he was driving down the freeway and wrote the song in his car. While he was driving? I don't know. I have to say, I think maybe once I wrote down a thing or two on an envelope while I was driving, maybe like one sentence. I don't know about a whole song. That seems a little extreme and maybe unsafe, but it goes to show you that inspiration can hit anywhere, right? Awesome. I hope you enjoyed the song. And we do have a new caller on the line. Hello, Deborah Lee.
Hello, Sky.
How are you?
I'm all right. A little hectic, but relieved that I didn't. I was afraid I wouldn't make it, and I didn't know if you would be doing more than an hour. And then I dial, and lo and behold, they're playing the song, and there's a little piece of that song in my palm, so the timing was perfect.
It was perfect. Yeah, I my storyboards, I tend to play a lot of stuff. I probably will never be done in it. Storyboards. The picture, the shutter button, it ends when it ends, I think. And that's actually so nice that I'm able to do that, to say, oh, yeah, it's an hour and a half. We have no more poems. We can call it a night. But I think I put too much stuff in the storyboards to ever really close early. I used to be 3 hours, and then I was like, this is too long. We got to rein it in here. So I started making sure I finished it, too.
Yeah, but that's cool, though, because you can sit back and listen to the recording later and get to hear all the, you know, I mean, you put a lot of time into the research and adding the clips and stuff, and it's pretty good on the replay, so.
Thank you. Yeah, my Game of Thrones one, I was there, those were all 3 hours. I couldn't cut them, but I played so much stuff for the fandom. It was just amazing. But let me get you up in here so that just in case, I'm sure you've got a lot going on over there, you said, so you probably have to read and run. I was definitely dancing. I love that you put up the gift. Thank you so much. I haven't put any gifts up, but I usually do for Storywood. So I love that you did that, because that's one of my favorite scenes. Is it one of your favorite scenes that, you know?
Yes, it is. That's why I incorporated I had to give a nod to it in the poem, which, of course, is one of my sort of synopsis poems. So I labeled it spoiler alert, but anyway. At first I put spoiler alert, do not read if you haven't seen Practical Magic, and it kicked it back at me and told me that I was only allowed to have 100 characters. So I just put Practical Magic. So I was like, all right, well.
That happens to me all the time. But my titles are just sometimes really long. In fact, one of my titles that I just recently did, I had to continue the titles after into the poem, and I don't know how many people actually got that it was part of the title. And then I wrote like a little asterisk, but it wouldn't all fit.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I have some doozies, but this is the first time it got kicked back at me. Go figure.
Oh, I've been kicked out. I've been kicked out. All right, let's see what you got.
All right, well, this is called, and spoiler alert, it's a synopsis for the movie Practical Magic, and if you haven't seen it, don't listen to this part. But this is called A Blood Spell Binds the Sisters to One Another. And here we go. Two sisters born into a magical family line are ridiculed by the town's school children, so they avoided witchcraft. One marries and has children before a family curse kills her husband as he's run over by a truck, and the wild child traveled the world running around with men till a scumbag boyfriend abused her. The women serve him tequila laced with belladonna to sedate him and escape his grip, but the bottle concoction kills him. To stay out of prison for murder, they seek a magical spell to resurrect him, injecting his corpse with a potion. That potion set loose an evil spirit. He tries to kill one sister. A pond toad swallows his ring, then pukes it out in front of a policeman that's looking for him. And then the officer sees the evil spirit. In a candlelight chant, townswomen aid the sisters, forming a coven, exorcising him. The cop and a sister cannot fight their attraction. Townfolk embrace the family now, wishes dance barefoot, drinking margaritas, singing put the limes in the coconut. Then, standing on the rooftop with umbrellas, dressed in black clothes and pointed hats and holding brooms, the witch family jumps off the side as the townswomen cheer. And poem.
Absolutely brilliant. And I have to agree, between your, I dropped Rack's poem right before you called in, and then I played that section and then the song and then your poem. And in the middle of the clip, it had the, you know, the Eye of Newt, or whatever, of Toad. And that's what Rack put in his poem. And then I played the clip, and then you bring in the coconut part. I mean, you guys just,
wow.
It worked out. And I didn't even know what Rack was bringing. He didn't even know what things I was bringing, and neither did you. I don't know. Do you ever just have those things happen that is just perfect, and it all comes together in this weird way, in the perfect timing? Yeah, it's just wonderful. I thought this was a brilliant piece. I love that you brought in not only the themes of the film, but the storyline through poetry. And I truly, truly believe, and that's why I do so many different topics, that there's no limit of what poetry can be made of. It could be made of random facts. It could be made of film fandom. Synopsis like this, and I truly, and then of course nature and beauty of emotion. I feel like anybody can write a poem about anything, and I tell that to my goddaughter. She's like, poetry. You know, at first when she first started, she's a poetry book, and she goes, this is my poetry book, Auntie. You know, she loves to write poetry too, because she sees it such a big part of my life, I think, and she likes to read it. Her favorite author is Robert Frost, and I see her, you know, I asked her to look at it, and it's just basically writing. It's not in any type of stanza or whatever, but she thinks it's poetry, and therefore it is. And I totally kindle that. And because when she learns the structure, she's going to have no restrictions on what genres should be poetry. And I don't think there should be restrictions. So I love that you did this. I love the way you did it. I did enjoy seeing what parts you brought in and how you brought them through the words. I mean, I've seen the film. I know what happens. But when you see it through another person's lens and see it through what parts they decided to bring in and how they brought it in through poetry, it's so creative, because you're taking a whole film in a book, by the way, which I actually have not read this one. And I usually read, like a lot of the films that I like, I usually read the book that goes along with it, and I haven't read this one yet. So it is on my to-be-read list. But you took this entire film and you brought it down into like a boiling pot of one poem. And how you did that was you had to choose how you were going to bring those things in. And I thought the way that you did it was really creative and really well done and very readable. Like it was just, it was very easy to follow and kind of the way that you transition. And sometimes transitions, when you're trying to bring in a lot of information, transitions can be tricky because you're trying to fit so much, but yours were very fluid and very well done. I loved the smile in your voice when you started reading The Lime and the Coconut, and you started to break out with a little bit of a song in there too, and I really liked that because it means that you enjoyed writing and you enjoyed reading it and sharing it, and that makes me happy. So really well done. Thank you, Deb.
I'm so glad you liked. And I still can't believe, like you said, Rack's poem and then the clip and then my poem, it's either magical witchcraft or kismet.
I know.
Thanks.
That's it. Kismet. There we go. That's the word I want. Oh, my gosh. Beautiful, brilliant word. Thank you. Rack and Tor, what do you think?
Hi, Rack. Hey, Debs. That was a great piece. You know, it was very fun. I just, you know, went to town with it. It was just lovely, and, you know, I was partying.
You know, that's one of those songs that it starts to play, and forever it will bring me to that scene in the movie, and you can't sit still at that point. So even while the clip was playing, I was sitting here in my chair, what do you call that? Not lap dancing, that's a different show. Seat dancing.
Yeah.
it was really cool. Thank you, Rack.
But there was I think it might have been the Sonny and Cher sitcom or whatever when I first saw them sing that song, and you know they did it in full outfit and everything, and they exaggerated the whole island theme and the whole lime in the coconut and drink it all. You know, so that kind of stays in your head and doesn't want to leave.
Very true.
Yeah, this is such a great soundtrack. I was like, how am I going? I really would love the highlights in the songs. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do that clip and then go right into the song in halftime. I mean, perfect. You have a halftime song. And then I opened with three songs because I needed Stevie Nicks, you know. I needed Joni Mitchell, and I needed Alan Silverstreet because he did a fantastic film score. So I'm like, you've got a picture.
Yeah, you
got
to include the one witch, that's for sure.
Awesome. Okay, Deb, so what do you – oh, and by the way, Deb, this movie has been on my to-do list since when I first started doing the shows. I accumulated a list of things that I possibly wanted to do, especially around the holidays, and this has been kicked so much back because different things. So I'm so glad that this one was brought and we're able, I mean, you obviously love the film, so it was just really cool how it all came out and together. But what do you got going on this week? Or next
More
week?
Kismet.
Or both?
Let's see, what day is this? Tomorrow is Sweet Pea. Has she been on? I guess I'll just do the rundown.
Not yet, nope. The only person that's called besides Rack so far is AP. So AP did his show on Saturday, and that's it.
Okay, then Sweet Pea will be doing her show on October Vibes, Falling Leaves, Pumpkin Spice, Scratching Trees, whatever it is that brings you into the October vibe she would like to hear about, and that's tomorrow night at 10. And then I'm sure you'll push your own show for Friday. And on Saturday, I'm so lost with the boards. I don't know why I have a mental block against this song title, but the prompt is Don't Dream It's Over. So wherever that quote takes you, or that song title takes you, is what we would like to hear about, and that's at 9 Eastern on Saturday night. And that brings me to my own show on Monday, where I kick off October, and the first October topic is witches and warlocks. So I have some really cool pictures to choose from, half witches, half warlocks. Whichever one screams at your muse, I want to hear where it takes you. And that's at 10 p.m. Eastern. And I think that'll do it for now. And
awesome.
Now I got to try to write for a suite for tomorrow. And but first I got to finish eating. So I will talk to you both soon. And I'll listen to the show after so that I can hear all the clips.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a good evening. And thanks for calling and thanks for the excellent poem.
Yeah, I was so excited when I saw the topic. Even though it's one of them days, I had to at least call and read it. It was like, yeah, I gotta call. So anyway, love and respect to you both, and we shall talk soon. Don't forget
Thank
to put
you.
The lime in the coconut.
Drink it all up.
Well, I love coconut flavor things. Good night. And I love lime with Corona, but I've never tried lime in my coconut rum. But
uh-huh.
Oh no, I have because I've had margaritas. I don't do tequila too much. It's a little dangerous slope for me, tequila. I'm too much of a lightweight, I think, for tequila. But let's go. Let's plug the show really quick. So on Friday night, and then I'm going to have you plug yours, Rack, so get ready for that. Friday night, I am on the air again so soon, but I really love spooky season. I have had so many topics on the waiting list for Halloween, and it's usually only 4 weeks of Halloween that I've been able to do shows. So, like, 4, 8, I've done 12 of them so far, and then actually some of them, sometimes I do the D&D special edition or the storyboard special edition, so a lot of the ideas that I've had kind of gone on the hold list. So I started a little early this week, so of course we have Practical Magic, but on Friday we have Death Becomes Her, which is a great film, just hilarious, and I haven't watched it in a while. So I'm really excited because I usually rewatch it, and I'm probably going to do that tomorrow. I'm going to have a little bit of time, I think, before I'm definitely going to Kempo tomorrow, Rack and Torp, definitely going, because there's no classes on Friday this week. So I'm definitely going. So probably before I go to Kempo, I'm going to sit down and actually watch a film. I think the only time I'm so bad at watching TV, but when I do the shows, it kind of makes it, I kind of want to rewatch it before the show, so it helps me watch TV. Sounds terrible, but yeah, I'm just so bad at watching TV. It's like the last thing on my list, and I love films, and I love series, but it's just like really the last thing on my list, and I usually don't get to it. So on Friday night, we just went down the tube there. Friday night at 8 p.m., Death Becomes Her. You could write to any of the scenes, themes, characters, and or quotes. As always, quotes, you can go anywhere you want, even if off topic from the topic itself. So bring a poem. I'll bring the fandom. You just bring poetry. That's your job. And yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be funny. And it's a funny film. And I don't think I do too many funny. I don't think I do too many funny films. I just don't. So it'll be fun. A little bit of dark humor, if you will. And Rack and Tour, do you know what you're doing this month? You have a show coming up, yeah? No, you just did a show.
It's Halloween is my show, actually. So I'm going to do a monster bash. Come, bring me your favorite monster, villain, phantasm.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
I got excited. I couldn't contain myself. Go ahead.
No, that's awesome. That's the reaction we hope for when we come up with these deals, at least for me. Oh, it's like I think of the titles, and I don't want something boring. I want something that's going to motivate someone. I want them to see it and go, oh, I got the perfect thing for that. I don't care how old it is. It's like, pull it out. It's going to be fun, and I'm going to try and get the topic board up early so that, you know, everybody will get to see it and write for it, because that's an easy one. Everyone's got a vampire poem or a werewolf poem laying around. So if nothing else, it's going to be a night of, cobbled together Frankenstein pieces and mad scientists.
Awesome. I have so many villain poems. I have so many fandom villain poems from, like, Star Wars to different films to, like, American Horror Story, Dr. Threadson. I don't know. That one's a little – I think that one has a couple swears in it. But, yes, I have so many villains. I'm so excited. That's a great topic, Rack. Great topic. All right. We are going to – what are we going to do? Oh, that's weird. I have that thing there. I didn't even know that was in the studio. Okay.
Put the coconut and drink it all up.
I know. It gets stuck in your head, doesn't it? I have all my clips in for the next 2 weeks, so I've got to see. I got to go back on the date, and I didn't change the date. So just give me 1 second. Okay, so I'm so excited for Terrifying Tales.
I was going to say, I'm surprised he got through to the doctor with the lime and the coconut when he's dealing with all those monkeys jumping on the bed.
I think you're, oh my gosh, I just love it. Okay, so I'm going to play, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to play I'm going to play the next three clips together, and that's actually all the clips I have for tonight. So I'm just going to play them together, and I mean, the show's not over, but I'm going to play all the clips together. So here we go.
Belladonna. It's a sedative. People put it in their tea to relax, calm their nerves.
Some people also use it as a poison.
Which people?
Witch people.
Aha.
Witches.
Witches.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you found me out, huh? Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You should come around here on Halloween. You'd really see something then.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we all jump off the roof and fly. We kill our husbands, too. Or is that outside your jurisdiction?
Do you have any idea how strange this all sounds to me? I got people telling me that you're up here cooking up placenta bars, that you're into devil worship.
No, there's no devil in the craft.
So what kind of craft do you do?
Do I do?
Mm.
I manufacture bath oils and soaps and hand lotions and shampoo.
Mm.
And the aunts, they like to meddle in people's love lives. Magic isn't just spells and potions. Your badge? It's just a star. Just another symbol. Your talisman. You can't stop criminals in their tracks, can it? It has power because you believe it does. Wish you could believe in me.
Miss Owens.
Hmm.
Are you hiding, James, Angela?
Not in this house.
Did you or your sister kill James Angela?
Oh, yeah. A couple of times. Antonia, could you make... the reason that you're here and you don't know why is because I sent for you. When I was a little girl, I worked a spell so I would never fall in love. I asked for qualities in a man that I knew couldn't possibly exist.
Green eyes, blue.
But you do.
You're saying what I'm feeling is just one of your spells?
Yeah, it's not real. And if you stay, I wouldn't know if it was because of the spell, and you wouldn't know if it was because I didn't want to go to prison.
Yeah, Lily. You know, all relationships have problems.
I'm right, aren't I? You don't know, do you?
Well, you do what you do, and I do what I do, and you'll see where we end up. Curses only have power when you believe in them. And I don't. You know what? I wish for you too.
Can love travel back in time and heal a broken heart? Was it our joint hands that finally lifted Maria's curse? I'd like to think so. There's some things, though, I know for certain. Always throw spilled salt over your left shoulder. Keep rosemary by your garden gate. Plant lavender for luck. And fall in love whenever you can.
Alan Silvestri music. I just love that background music. It's just brilliant. So yes, spoiler alert, there is a happy ending to this film. So it's just a really good feel-good film. It's just a feel-good, I mean, it has Sandra Bullock in it, and you really cannot go wrong with Sandra Bullock, I don't think. So, I mean, there you go. I mean, it has, of course, it has such brilliant people in the film. It also has Nicole Kidman, who I absolutely love. There's another Australian lady for AP. Diane, yeah, I think it's pronounced Waist or West. I know her, but I'm not sure about her last name. Yeah, of course, Aidan Quinn, there's just a lot of good, and, just some good people in the film.
Great casting.
It was, and I don't like Sandra Bullock movies. They're funny, they're sweet. You know, some of them, she was in that film, I wouldn't say she only does those kind of films, but she does do the, I don't know, I guess the quiet intellectual who is searching for something and finds it, she does those characters well. Again, I don't think that's the only thing in her acting range. She's done many other things, but for me, when I think of those types of, when I think of her, you know, I think of course, you know, While You Were Sleeping, which I loved. I've done that on storyboards. And this film, and she's, what is that, Love Potion number 9, I really enjoyed. So, yeah. I don't know. Everybody's got to love Sandra Bullock, I think. Or maybe it's just me, I don't know. Yeah, yeah. All right, well, I have got some facts. I've got some facts, but it's not coming up, so we're just going to have to, we're going to wing it right now, Rack and Tour. We're winging it. Let me check my studio before I start winging it too much, okay? Because I'm trying to get something. Huh?
Wing of Bat.
Oh, Wing of Bat. You've got some more. Oh, here we go. All right, here we go. Here we go. All right. I like to do little facts about the film, of course. The entire house was a specially built architectural shell that was torn down after filming. It was built on rented land, and even the blossoms on the trees are fake, made of silk. It looks
wow.
Very real. But that's cool. They did a whole shell, though. I mean, that's cool. Huh.
Temporary structure. Here we go.
All right, let's see. So this is fun. The unexpected issue that director Griffin Dunne encountered was the number of takes the lead actress needed to complete each scene. Sandra Bullock would generally finish 2 or 3 takes. However, Nicole Kidman had just spent the previous 18 months working on Stanley Kubrick on Eyes Wide Shut, by the way, which is a brilliant film, and was now used to doing 70 or 80 takes for a single scene. That is a lot. I don't know about that. Okay, Aiden Wynn's character. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, you said that was a lot. I was going to say that would add to filming time a little bit.
Yeah, it would. A lot of it. Aiden Quinn's character, Gary Hallett, has something called heterochromia, iridium, and it is derived from Latin, hetero, and different chromia for color. And iridium is a harmless condition in which the iris is colored partially or completely different than the other iris. Although it is fairly rare in humans, there are some celebrities with this condition, and I thought this was cool, such as Kate Bosworth, Mila Kunis, and Jane Seymour. So, and that's just to name a few. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Dr. Quinn.
Yeah, the medicine woman, right? Yeah. Aunt Frances, Dr. Channing, and Aunt Jet, Diane Weiss, frequently wore clothing styles that were popularized in the 20th century, suggesting that they really are much older than they appear to be, as some of the townsfolk imply. So maybe they age slowly. Mm. Another little tidbit. The name of Sally's botanical shop is verbena, and verbena is a flowering plant, which has long been associated with divine and supernatural forces. So there was a lot of thought even to the name of the shop, even though it's not even like it's just a little nugget within the film, which I thought was cool. What kind of spooky films do you like, Raconteur?
I like the stuff that they want to imply, then come right out and hit you over the head with it, you know? Like, it's easy to have somebody, you know, shoot fire and brimstone, but to have you wonder, like, you know, is it real, or are they just imagining it? Is it in his mind? Is it a dream? I like when they make it more complex and psychological than just hit you over the head with it.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know, at least I find it different. I find it interesting, people's different tastes in film.
Yeah.
I've made a commitment to myself that I'm going to read every year during Halloween season. I'm going to reread either Pan's Labyrinth, and or Coraline, but I think I'm going to go with Pan's Labyrinth this year. I probably will do it every year. I really enjoyed Pan's Labyrinth. So, I mean, I don't know if you. I did a show on it, but I just really loved the book.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie was good too, but I really loved the book.
Yeah, I always confuse that with that story. I always confuse that story with the Labyrinth. It's like, no, Pan's Labyrinth's a different movie. One's David Bowie.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, very different movies too.
Not the same movie. Yeah.
No. And you know, for a long time, people had said to me, "You really should watch this film," and. Or read this book. I really think you would like it. And it took me a while. My best friend, actually, my godchildren's mother, and she kept saying, "This is really up your alley." It is all in English subtitles because it's a Spanish-made film. So you do have to read the subtitles, subtitles never bother me, really, because I have subtitles on all the time. As some people... I don't think, I'm a little hard of hearing in my left ear. And I just love subtitles. My hearing isn't what it used to be, and it certainly was never that great. But when the kids were little, I heard that if you put subtitles on the screen when your kids are watching TV, it helps with their reading. You know, it improves their reading. So I started doing it for them, and then I kept doing it because I realized that I could read it if I had a hard time. And a lot of good films just have subtitles. They're in different languages. I think A Beautiful Life is another one, very sad about World War II and the concentration camps. It was such a beautiful film, and it's all in subtitles. And I think when a film is done well, for me, I kind of forget that there were subtitles altogether. I think I recommended that film to someone, and then they're like, "Oh, it's in subtitles." I'm like, to be honest with you, I don't remember because I was so into the film, I totally forgot that it had subtitles. So I know that really won't work out for you, but you know. For me, it does. Okay. I have another. I was thinking about playing another halftime song. Oh, no, I don't want that. Okay. It's not really halftime because it's almost overtime. But I really wanted to play this, and I didn't have the version I wanted to in the studio. So I was just putting it in there. And, of course, my computer is now on the fritz. I have so much stuff open. What was I doing? Oh, it was for your show. I'm like, why do I have so many? So I'm super crazy and have all my poetry set in Microsoft Word files for each year that I wrote, and they're all typed up. And I have them all open, and I'm like, why do I have so many Word document opens? And then I realized it was because I was trying to find what year I wrote those, yeah. So I was searching through, oh, man. I closed out all my tabs. We're having a great time here. Oh, I didn't know.
Remember Dabra?
Yeah, I clicked X and I pressed the wrong X. That's all right. We'll get it together. It's kind of a crazy night. You know what it is? It was my nap. I blame it on my nap. I better go to sleep. I'm going to have to take some melatonin, I think. Speaking of, like, things like that, I'm going to have to take some melatonin here tonight because I took a long nap. All right, we're back. We're back here. All right. So this was another song in the film. I had Elvis Presley's version, but I really wanted Willie Nelson's version. So I just got it up here, and it's not here. All right, well, I'm not ready yet, apparently, because it's not in here.
You gotta find Willie.
You know, it might have to go at the end, because, oh, here we go. I got it. All right, so I will talk about the song after. I really wanted to play it. This film has such a great soundtrack. I love soundtrack. When there was like such things as CDs, right? Mm-hmm. I just always bought the soundtrack. I love soundtracks for films.
Where was it filmed?
Oh, I don't know. While we're playing that song, I'll go look it up. All right? Stand by. All right, here we go.
Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. If I made you feel second best, girl, I'm sorry I was blind. You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. And maybe I didn't hold you all those lonely, lonely times. And I guess I never told you I'm so happy that you're mine. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. But you were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. Tell me that your sweet love
I'm so glad I was able to get that version in there. I love Elvis, obviously. I loved Elvis, but I love that version better. I just like the Willie Nelson version better. Willie Nelson, mm-hmm. an American songwriter, writer, guitarist, activist, and actor. He was one of the main figures of progressive and outlaw country subgenres that developed in the late 1960s as a reaction to the conservative restrictions of Nashville sound. The critical success of his album, Shotgun Willie, 1973, combined with his critical and commercial success of Redheaded Stranger in 1975, and Stardust, 1978, made Nelson one of the most recognized artists in country music. Nelson has acted in over 30 films, co-authored several books, and has been involved in activism for the use of biofuels and the legalization of marijuana. Nelson wrote his first song at the age of 7 and joined his first band at 10 during his high school. He toured locally with the Bohemian Polka, which I think is awesome, as their lead singer and guitar player. So he's got quite the story. Just love a little Willie Nelson. Yeah. So there we go. I found the answer to your question, Rack, and I just canceled out the tab. But it was partially filmed in California, and then it was also so it was partially done in California. I was reading, oh, look, good, my autofill fills it right back in. Don't you just love autofill? So it was partially filled in California, and it was also done in another little town, Coopville, a waterfront Coopville on Whitby. Yeah. Oh, no, that's where they were. Yeah, so California, that's where they put the little pretend house.
Yeah. That's what we think of it. You got epic things like Lord of the Rings in New Zealand and whatnot. It's like, well, where did they go to film this one?
Yeah. So it says the film was majorly shot in Whidbey Island in San Juan Island. And then the house part was built in California. So, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I like little bits of trivia like that.
So do I. That was
the
question.
Such pains to, you know, to cast the show and get, you know, the perfect actor and then the perfect setting. And, you know, I want this waterfall and this sunrise and this time of day and everything. It's like, where do you go for that? You know, so if you like the setting of the movie and the mood that they're, you know, creating with the whole, you know, homey and you know, magical and old timeyness, you know, where would I go for that? And now I know.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I would love to go to New Zealand, not only because there's a hobbit hole. Right, I get to visit the Shire, because that's where I wanted. Oh, I would just love to see the Shire. Oh my gosh. But I mean, you've got everything over there. You've got the Northern Lights, and then that's where Xena was filmed, and so many things. Of course, Lord of the Rings, which is what I just mentioned with the Shire, but so many great movies. And it's funny that you said New Zealand, because it is a popular place because there's so much land untouched. But I would love to go there, and I just want to run around the countryside. You know, that's all I want to do. I would just love to see that because it is so beautiful. I want to say the Sound of Music was. I don't know though. It was Switzerland. You're right. It was. I'm like, I don't know if that was it, but yeah. So I mean, that's a good question because you see these films and you're like, Plus, it must be cool locally to see them to know that they're filming it, like. That's pretty.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't think any film has been filmed in New Hampshire. I just don't think so.
check with the Chamber of Commerce. I'm sure anything that went that they're very proud to tell you. Oh, you know, this was filmed here and this scene was filmed there, and you know.
Yeah. How many movies that were filmed in New Hampshire? Okay, Hedgehog. Isn't that a? That's an animated film. The Skulls. Oh, Jumanji 1995 was filmed in New Hampshire. What?
So then you had Robin Williams.
I know. Wow. Before I Sleep, I don't know what that is. The Good Son. Oh, I love The Good Son. Elijah Wood. And, oh, my gosh. What's his name? Home Alone. Macaulay Culkin. yeah. That's cool. That was one. I don't know why I loved that film when I was younger. Like when I was a preteen, I just loved The Good Son. I'm not really sure. It was pretty dark, but oh my gosh. All right, Raconteur. It has been so much fun with you. We have 5 minutes.
So, okay.
I can't even believe it. Time goes by when you're having a good time.
It's magic.
It's magic. I can't believe how much magic in Deb's words, as she said, kismet, happened tonight. I think there was a lot of magic and kismet and magic. Oh, my gosh. That's a great – somebody write that down. That's a great title for a poem, kismet and magic. Oh, I'm going to have to do something with that. That is brilliant, right? Inspiration strikes anywhere. Okay, so I'm doing this all the wrong way. Okay, here we go. So we are going to be closing. I was just scrolling till I got to my name. We are going to be closing. The closing music is going to be Alan Silvestri again, so I'm not going to talk about him. And then Stevie Nicks again, and I talked about her at the beginning of the
yep.
show. So we're going to be closing out with I don't know why I said story. Because we're storyboards, right? Stevie Nicks, Crystal, and the ending score of the film. So, and so I already did Always on My Mind. Great. I want to thank, of course, Raconteur for really being my right-hand guy here, you know, unofficially. You were here all night, making sure I wasn't alone. Thank you. And, of course, having a wonderful company with me. And I want to thank AP Taylor and Deborah Lee for calling in and sharing your poems. And of course, to anybody who's listening out there, I hope you enjoyed and thank you as well. And that's about it. I'm going to stick to my after show clip. Because that's what I always do at storyboards, and what would storyboards be without an after show clip? So stick around and be back in a moment. And here we go. Brilliant Stevie Nicks, of course. All right, so I happen to have a perfect end show clip because remember how we were talking about voicemails? Rack and tour? All right. He shows that he's still on the line. All right, so listeners.
Yeah, I was muted.
Oh, okay. I'm like, oh, it says he's there. All right, so this is just brilliant because I have this one. Here we go. The most epic voicemail ever. I just love this. I don't know why. I just love it. And it's good because I don't really use it very often. And I keep it around just for this reason exactly. Here we go.
I...
In a world where the person you are trying to reach can't answer the phone, there's only one choice. Leave a message.
That's awesome.
Just love it. Like, in a world, like, it's like if a voicemail could be a trailer, that's what it would be.
Absolutely
brilliant.
when my dad, when, you know, I was around when, you know, answering machines were first coming into fashion. When my dad had gotten his new answering machine, I tortured the hell out of him. I called him up and I recorded his outgoing message. And when it beeped to leave a message, I played his outgoing message. And he thought the thing was broken. He's like, why is it playing my outgoing message? I messed with him so bad.
I used to have, when I did have a voicemail, I had, if you remember the film with, oh my gosh, I can't think of the film.
Harry Met Sally.
Jim Carrey did the Grinch. And he was like, if you utter so much as one syllable, I'll hunt you down and cut you like a fish. And he said that on his answer machine. And I recorded it on mine, and I put it on my voicemail when I was a teenager. And I just loved it. When I was like it was just
That's
fun.
Awesome.
All right, we got to wrap this up. Been a beautiful show. Of course, I've got my little Streets of Rage here, which is my end show. So thank you so much. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.